Today's daf is Yuma Daf Samaches, and we are at the Mishnah, 12 lines from the bottom of Daf Samach Zayin Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Zara Aliza, Ovadia ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba ben Devorah, Devorah bas Mecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Eliyahu ben Brindel, Mordechai Tzvi ben Fradel, Sarah bas Batya, Rafal Yaakov ben Rachel Chava and Aryeh Eliezer ben Malka. Today's daf is being learned as a schus for Yecheskel Shraga ben Miral. And today's daf is being learned for Ilui Nishmas Avram ben Yibadal Lechayim Toivim Remoisha Chayim. So the Mishnah is continuing to discuss the Seder Avodah on Yom Kippur. The last Mishnayis discussed the Sa'ir La'azazel, and we're at the point that the Ish Iti, this Yid whose job it was to walk the Sa'ir to Azazel and ultimately send it down the cliff, already did his job. So we're now going to return to the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to shift our focus back to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol sent the Ish Iti out. The Ish Iti did his job. It's time for the Kohen Gadol to resume what he needs to do. Says the Mishnah, Boloi Eitzel Par V'Sa'ir HaNisrafim. So the Kohen Gadol went to the Par, and the Sa'ir HaNisrafim, the par is referring to the par that the Kohen Gadol said vidui on twice, the par that the Kohen Gadol had paid for out of his own pocket, the par that the Kohen Gadol did three sets of azoyis with, some in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, some in the Paroiches, others on the Mizbeach HaZov, the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Now this par is also referred to as the par HaNisraf. This Sa'ir is the Sa'ir Lashem. That's the Sa'ir that paralleled the par. The Kohen Gadol tore them, and he removed the emurim. These are the parts of the carbon that was going to go on the Mizbeach. Nasanim ben Markus, he then put it into a bowl, Viktir and Algabi Mizbeach, and he was makdur. Kolam ben Makolois, he then tied the par and the sar together, Vayitzi on the base Hasreifa, and he took them out to the base Hasreifa. Umei imasai metamim begodim, says the Mishnah, at what point does the person whose job it was to take the par and the sar to the base Hasreifa's begodim become tame? Mishayatsu chutz l'chay mesazar. As soon as he leaves the walls of the Azar, Rav Shimon says, Mishayatsu sa'ar beruba, that it happens after he already puts the basar of the par and the sar into the fire, and the or takes hold of the majority of these two animals. So we're shifting our attention back to the sar Lashem, back to the par that the Kohen Gadol brought on Yom Kippur. The Mishnah mentioned the next things that the Kohen Gadol had to do. The Gemara is going to digress and analyze it a little bit. But before we start the Gemara, we need to just familiarize ourselves with a few psukim in the Torah. So the pasuk in Parshas Achrimos, when describing the par and the sa'ir, says, quote, Ve'es chelev hachatos yakter hamizbecha. The chelev, the chalav, and the fats of the carbon chatos, the Kohen Gadol took, and he had it burned on the Mizbeach. In other words, the par and the sar that the Kohen Gadol brought in Yom Kippur, even though they were unique karbanas, and they had a lot of halachas that were true for them, that were not true for other karbanas, but every carbon required haktara, and this carbon was no different. So the chelev of the chatos, that's the part of every carbon that went on the Mizbeach, that the mitzvah of haktara was done with, had to be taken out, and it had to be burned on the Mizbeach. Two psukim later, ve'is par hachatos ve'isir hachatos, asher yuhuva es domam l'chaper b'kodesh, the par and the sar, yoytzi al michutz l'machna, should be taken outside of the machna, ve'sarfu va'esh, they should be burnt in the fire, es oirosam ve'es besaram ve'es pershim. What does it mean, they should be burnt in the fire? Number one, the basar. Number two, the oir, the skin. And number three, pirsham. So that's the excrement that's inside the animal that also was burnt on the fire. And then the pasuk says, Vasayru Faisan, the person that burns them, Yichabes Begadav, his clothing become tummy. As a result, he has to wash his clothing. Verachat says, Vasari Bamayim, and he then has to bathe his body in a mikveh. Va'achri ken yovei ala machne, and only then is he going to be allowed to return to the machne. So the pasuk says that what did the Kohen Gadol do with the par and the sar after he did the hazois? Number one, he did haktara. Veschelav achat. That's easy. Afterwards, he took the par and the sar, el michutz l'machane, that's going to be defined in the Gemara. He burnt it in a fire. Which parts of the par and the sar did he burn? Three things. Oiroisam, that's the skin. Besorim is the flesh, Ves Pirsham, and that's what's inside the animal. And then the Pasuk says that the person that burnt it, he became Tameh, and the clothing that he wore became Tameh as well. So that's essentially what the Mishnah said. Our Mishnah just said what these three Psukim say. Number one, Bali Eitzel Par Besorim and Esrafin, Karon, he tore it up, Oitzias Emureyim. So the first thing he did was he was Makted Emurim. The next thing it says is he took the Par and the Sar, he tied them together, he brought them out to the Beis Asrei. For why? Because he's going to have to burn them. What's them? Oyroisam besaram ve'ez pirsham. And then finally, the Mishnah says, "Omei masai mitame begadim." When do his begadim become tummy? Who said anything about his begadim become tummy? Oh, that's the next pasuk. Vasoyrefoisam yichab his begadim. But the question is, at what point is that chal? And that's a machlokes in the Mishnah. According to the Tanakam, as soon as he leaves the chaimus of the Azara, according to Reb Shimon, it doesn't happen until the sreifa starts. Zok the Gemara v'ktiran zolke daitoch. So the first thing the Mishnah said was is that after the ishiti was sent out to the midbar, so the kohen gadol went to the par and the soyer hanisrafin and he took out the emurim, and like the pasuk says, "Veschel v'achatos yakter hamizbecha." Frank the Gemara, did it happen at that point? No way did it happen at that point. Now the Gemara doesn't explain. Maybe it did happen at that point. But there's a long Rashi, where Rashi basically lays out all the things that still had to happen before the Kohen Gadol was ready to do Akhtara, Ayin Shah. So it couldn't have happened yet at this point. Chronologically, we're not up to the point where the Kohen Gadol is going to do the Akhtara. No one's arguing that he's going to do the Akhtara. The Gemara is Kasha Vektir and Solka Daitach. Did he do Akhtara? It's a pasuk in the Torah. Veschel v'achatas yakter hamizbecha. The Kasha is Vektir and now, Solka Daitach? Is that possible? The Gemara says, no, you're right. When the Mishnah says, it doesn't mean that right now he did the Akhtar, even though that's what the Mishnah says. But we have to edit the Mishnah. Not vehiktiron, but rather lehaktiron al gabi amizbeach. He's just preparing it for the haktara. But enochinami, like Rashi lays out, there's still things that had to be done before we were ready to do the haktara. So after the Kohen Gadol took out the emurim, preparing it for haktara, he then took the par and the sar, and he tied them together. And after he tied them together, they were walked el michutz lamachana, and they were burnt. Ayroisam besaram ves pirsham. Zok de Gemara. Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, what does it mean? Kolam b'maklois, kemin kalia. What it means is, they braided the two together. We learned in a braisa that describes the way the meat of the par and the sar were actually burnt. And the Mishnah says that it was chopped up, but not chopped up in the way that an oila was chopped up. An oila had a mitzvah of nituach. So a carbon oil, all the basar of the oil had to be burnt on the mizbeach. But before the basar was burnt, two things had to happen. There were two mitzvahs that were done. The first mitzvah was called hefshet. The oil had to be skinned. The second mitzvah was called nituach. The oil had to be chopped up into pieces. So the Braisa says that there was a nituach. However, lo yhoya menatchon nituach basar oil. It wasn't chopped up in the same way as the oil. Ela oira gabi basa. Meaning, because when the oil is chopped up, it's chopped up after it was already flayed, after it was already skinned. This was different. This was not skinned. This was oira gabi basa. So what the Braisa just said really was two things. Number one, there was a mitzvah of nituach. There was a mitzvah to chop up the basa. It's not clear anywhere in the pasuk that there was a mitzvah of nituach. But the Braisa said, there was a mitzvah of nituach. Number two, the mitzvah was to chop it, but there was no mitzvah of hefshet. And that's what the Braisa is saying, that if you want to compare and contrast the mitzvah sreifa of the par and the sar of Mekippur versus the mitzvah sreif of all the basra of the oila, it's like the oila, but it's not like the oila. It's like the oila that there's a mitzvah of nituach, but it's not like the oila in that there's no mitzvah of hefshe. How do we know that? Meaning, how do we know that there was a mitzvah of nituach, and how do we know that there was no mitzvah of hefshe? The Tanya, we learned to the Brayz, Rabbi Yemi, Rabbi says, Nemakan, it says regarding the sreif of the par and the sar in Yom Kippur, or ubasar uferesh. That's the pasuk we mentioned several times. V'sarfu va'esh es oiroisam ve'es besaram ve'es pirsham. V'nemer lahalon, and it says regarding the sreifa of the par, Kohen HaMashiach. So the Kohen HaMashiach is referring to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, when there was a Shemen HaMishcha, when the Kohen Gadol became the Kohen Gadol because he was anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. The halach is if the Kohen Gadol did an Avera B'shoigik, that had he done B'mezer, he would have been Chayev. He has to bring a carbon chatas. Now that's true for every yid. But every yid, when he brings a carbon chatas, he brings a female animal that's either a kispa or a Seira. We said the reason he brings a female is because he did the Avera. Toshash Koicha Kinekeva, that's why he brings in the Keva. As opposed to someone that only has a Hira to do an Avera. So he had Gvura, he was able to overcome his Yetzirah. That's why he brings an Oila, and Oila is a Zachar. But the Kohen Gadol was different. The Kohen Gadol, if he did such an Avera, so number one, he brought a Zachar. Number two, it had to be a Par. So this is the Chatas of the Kohen Gadol. Now the Pasuk says, regarding the Chatas of the Kohen Gadol, that it had to be burnt. Meaning, it wasn't eaten, there was a murim that was taken out, it was put on the Mizbeach, and then the rest of it was burnt, similar to the par and the sar of Yom Kippur. So it says over there, lehalon, regarding the par, koyim Mashiach, oiru basar uferish. The pasuk is, ves oira par, ves kol basare, al roishay, val kra, vikir bay uferishay. Bottom line is, it's the same exact words. Says the Gemara, ma lehalon, ayyadei nituach, vlayyadei hefshet. Just like the par, koyim Mashiach, there was a mitzvah of nituach, there was no mitzvah of hefshet. Afkan, ayyadei nituach, vlayyadei hefshet. So too, the par and the sar in Yom Kippur, there's a mitzvah of nituach. But there's no mitzvah of hefshet. So the Gemara says, you want to know the makar, the par and the sar in Yom Kippur, there was nituach, there was no hefshet. Oila we know has hefshet and nituach. Other karbanas have no hefshet and no nituach. Here there's a mitzvah of nituach, but there's no mitzvah of hefshet. Where are we learning it from? So the Gemara says, learn that from Gzeirah Shavah, from the par koyin Moshiach. We're comparing that par to this par and the sar of Yom Kippur. So the Hasam in Allah. How do you know that the par koyin Moshiach had a mitzvah of nituach and no mitzvah of hefshet? We're learning it from the par koyin Moshiach. Says the Gemara, I don't even know how that we know that's true by the Par Koyim Mashiach. It's not a pasuk. It's learned from somewhere. So, okay, what's the Makar to that? So, the Gemara, the Tanya, that's learned out from a Braisa. So, it says regarding the Par Koyim Mashiach, like we just said, Vikirboy Ufirshoy Vihoitzi. Malamed, we learn from this, Shemoitzioi Shalei, that when the Koyim would take the Par Koyim Mashiach outside of the Machana, he had to take it out in one piece, meaning, he couldn't be menateach it. He couldn't cut it into pieces before he took it out. And the drasha is because it says vahoitzi. Vahoitzi is a singular lashon, as if to say he's taking out one thing. If it was already chopped up into pieces, it wouldn't say vahoitzi. It would say vahoitziyu. So v'kirbay ufirshoy vahoitzi in the singular is melamish hamaitziyoy shalom. Yachal yisrafenu shalom. You would think says the Braisa, that's the way he's supposed to burn it as well. Nemakan reish ukrav. It says over here reish ukrav v'nemar, and it says regarding the oilo lahalon reish ukrai and lahalon ayin tuach. Just like by the oil of this nituach, so to the par koyim mashiach, there's a mitzvah of nituach. So we know the mitzvah of nituach by the par koyim mashiach has been learned now from Gzeirah Shavah from the carbon oil. E malah halam frek the gemara, they have shneit af kan they have shneit. By the carbon oil, there's not just a mitzvah of nituach, there's also a mitzvah of hefshet. So maybe the par koyim mashiach should also have a mitzvah of hefshet. Talmud loymar vikir by ufirshay. No, it says vikir by ufirshay, and from there I know there's no mitzvah of hefshet. Frek the gemara, my Talmud, what do you see in the words vikir by ufirshay? It has nothing to do with hefshet. Rav Papa explained. Kishem shepirshay bekirboy kach besaroy ba'ore. The drasha that the Brice is referring to is that if you look in the pasuk in its entirety, this is the pasuk by the par koyim mashiach. It says va'es oira par ves kol besaroy, and then it says bekirboy ufirshay. So the Gemara makes a hekish between the relationship between kirboy and firshay, and the relationship of oira par and besaroy. And that is, just like the firshoy was not taken out of the kirboy, and the reason is because it would be unbefitting, it wouldn't be derech kovet to start removing all the firshoy from the kirboy of the animal in the Beis HaMikdash. So that poshet, that when it was taken out the kirboy of firshoy tzazamen. So tuves, oira parves, kol besaroy, also means tzazamen, the basar is inside the ar. So Rav Papa said that that's pashat, there was no mitzvah of hefshet when it comes to the par koyim mashiach. Why? The Braisa says, it says v'kir b'yufirshay. What does it mean v'kir b'yufirshay? Ves oira par ves kol basari is similar to v'kir b'yufirshay. Just like v'kir b'yufirshay, the pirshay is in the kirboy, so too ves oira par ves kol basari, the basari is inside the ar. That means you never did a hefshet. So there's for sure no mitzvah of hefshet. Stating that, there is a mitzvah of nituach, because I have gzeirah shavah between the karan b'yum mashiach and between the oila. The oila had a mitzvah of nituach, so the par koyim mashiach is also going to have an oila. Once I established that the par koyim mashiach had a mitzvah of nituach, so now I know the par in the Sarin Yom Kippur also had a mitzvah of nituach. Why? For that I also have Gzeirah Shavah. So this is just a very long-winded answer. The question was that the Gemara brought a braisa, that the braisa says that when the par in the Sarin Yom Kippur was taken out of Michutz L'machana to burn it, and it wasn't just burnt, it was oiroi, ufirshay, ubesaroi, so there was a mitzvah of nituach, but there was no mitzvah of hefshet. That's the braisa. Frank the Gemara, not really. That's interesting. I know hefshet v'nituach by an oila. No hefshet, yeah, nituach. What's the makar? The short answer is, it's learned out from the Par Koyim Mashiach. The Par Koyim Mashiach was also burned Chutz L'Machane, and it had a mitzvah of Nituach, and there was no mitzvah of Hefshet. So too, the Par in the Sar and Yom Kippur, there was a mitzvah of Nituach, there was no mitzvah of Hefshet. How do you know the Par Koyim Mashiach had Nituach and no Hefshet? It's not a pasuk in the Torah. Mar says, you're right. I know Nituach Kseir Shava from Oyla, and I know there was no hefshed based on the drasha, the comparison between the relationship of the kirbay and the firshay, and the oira par and the basara. Just like the kirbay and the firshay were one, because it would be not derech kavod to remove it, so too we didn't remove the basar from the art. The last part of the Mishnah discussed the pasuk that says, v'hasoyref oisam, the person that burnt the begadim, that burnt the par and the sar, yichabes begadav, his begadim became tummy, he had to wash his clothing. V'rochat his psar b'mayim, he himself became tummy, he had to bathe his body. V'achri came yovei al ha-machne, and only afterwards was he allowed to return to the machne. Zok de gemara. So the Mishnah said, so at what point does the begadim become tummy? So it's much like this. The Tanakhama said, "Misheyetsu chutz l'chemes ha'azara." When they leave the chemes at ha'azara, that's when it became tummy. Rav Shimon says, "No, not until the sreifa." Misheyotzis ha'ar beruban, that's when this all happens. Zok de gemara tanu rabbanon. It says regarding the par and the sar on Yom Kippur, veis parachatos veisir achatos yoytzi el michutz la'machane v'sarfu. So where was it burnt? Where did this all happen? It happened michutz la'machane. Zok de gemara la'halon atenoisin hamshalosh machnois. Over there, regarding the par koyim mashiach that we just spoke about. And over there also means the par helam davar shal tzibur, that was another par, that was a chatas, that was an unconventional chatas, in that it wasn't a kispa or a seira, rather it was a par, and it too had a mitzvah to take its basar outside the machne and burn it. But over there, regarding those two parim, atem noisen lehem shalish machnes. Over there, the halacha is that he didn't just take it outside the machne; he took it outside of three machnes. V'kan atem noisen lehem machnachas. And over here, it's only one machne. How could that be? Because the Bryce is bothered with a question. The Pasuk says that where was the sreif of the par and the sar? Ves par achatas asir achatas ashuva es domam lechaper bakoidish yoitzi el michutz la'machna. It sounds like you're only supposed to take it out of one machna. By the other parim anisrofim, the par koy mashiach and the par halam davar shel tzibur, it wasn't just taken out of one machna; it was taken out of three machnas. So the Bryce is bothered with a kashna. The kash is, I understand. Over there, three machnas, and over here, one machna. So just take a step back for a second. What are all these machnas? So we know that Klal Yisrael, from the times that they were in the Midbar, so their machna, the place where they lived, was broken up into three groups. There was machna Shechina, there was machna Leviyah, and there was machna Yisrael. As it relates to when the Yidden were in Eretz Yisrael, Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYukayim, so machna Shechina was the Azara. Machna Leviyah was the rest of the Harabayas. And machna Yisrael was Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. So if the Pasuk regarding the Parim Anisrofim says it has to be taken outside of three machnas, that means where was it burnt? Outside of Yerushalayim. Over here it just says, Yoytzi el michutz la'machna. It sounds like it's only outside of one machna. Meaning, just take it outside of the Azara. If you want, you could burn it even on the Harabayas. But the price is, it's very modna. La'alon atenoysel sholosh machnois, v'kan atenoysel machna achas. It's not mestaber. Okay, salam anem michutz la'machna. Why then does the pasuk say michutz la'machna? Lo'im l'cho, kivin sheyotza chutz la'machna achas, metamim v'godim. Not that the sreifa was outside of one machna. Sreifa was outside of gimel machnas. The same place the sreifa was for all the parim anisrofim. The reason we're talking about machna achas is to say that when it left one machna, it already became tamei. What's the one machna? It's the azara. That's the mishnah. Emes ayim etamei begodim b'sheyetzu chutz l'chemes azara. As soon as it leaves, the chemes azara, which is the one machna, because the azara is machane shechina. So as soon as it leaves machane shechina, at that point, it's already going to be tamei. Zok the gemara b'hasam in olon. How do you know regarding the par koy mashiach and the par olam davash al tzibah that the place that it was burned wasn't just outside the one machna, but it was outside of the shalosh machna? So the gemara says the tanya we learned in a brisa. Again, we're asking a question that the pasuk sounds like the par and the sar were burnt outside of one machna, but by the par koy mashiach and the par olam davash al tzibah was burnt outside of the gimel machnas. Says the brisa, how do you know that? Again, it's not mefurish in the pasuk anywhere. So if it's not mefurish in the pasuk, how do you know that was outside the three machnas? Then now you're coming with great sakashas and you ask me, what does yoytzi mechutz la'machna mean over here? So the gemara says, you're right, it's not mefurish. However, a brisa did the work. Yoytzi es kol ha'par. It says regarding the par koy mashiach, it should be taken outside. Where does it mean outside? Chutz l'sholosh machnas. Atam chutz l'sholosh machnas. Ein chutz machnas achas. Maybe it means vayitzi outside of one machna. Take it outside of the azara. Who says it has to be taken outside of Yerushalayim? K'shoyim b'paro edo. But it says regarding the paro on davashol tzibur vayitzi es haparo el michutz l'machna. She ain't tamal oimer. That el michutz l'machna is extra. Shari kfar nemar.
Because the pasuk says v'sarav oisoi kasha sarav es haparo rishoy. It says that the paro on davashal tibur was burnt in the same place that the par koyim mashiach was burnt. So if the par koyim mashiach was burnt on michutz lamachane and the paro on davashal tibur was burnt in the same place that the par koyim mashiach was, says the back, it's back of the envelope arithmetic. I know then that the paro on davashal tibur was also burnt outside of one machana. So why did Torah have to tell me that you should take it on michutz lamachana? Oh, ma talmud loy mel michutz lamachana litan le machana shir. Must be it's coming to tell me what el michutz lamachana means. Not just outside of one machana, but outside of two machana. So we already know you have to take it at least outside of machana levir. Kshuoyim, but there's a third drasha. When it says michutz lamachana badeshen, now this pasuk is already in Parshas Tzav. It's talking about the mitzvah of Hoytzoas HaDeshen, not Trumas HaDeshen, but Hoytzoas HaDeshen. So every now and again, the Kohen would take all the Deshen, all the ashes from the Karbonos, and he would bring it out, Michutz LaMachana, and that's where he would leave it. Now the Pasuk over there says that the place of the Hoytzoas HaDeshen was Michutz LaMachana. Says the Braisa, Shein Tam Alem, the Braisa really didn't have to say that. Meaning, I know from elsewhere that that's where it was. I know from another place, without the Pasuk in Parashas Tzav, that the Deshen was taken on Michutz LaMachana. Why? Sharei Kfar Ne'emar, because it says by the Purim and Esrothim, that where were they burnt? They were burnt Chutz LaMachana, El Shefech HaDeshen, the place where the Deshen was. Must be the Deshen was Michutz LaMachana. Because if the Purim and Esrothim were burnt on Michutz LaMachana, and the dead place is called Shefech HaDeshen, so it's pretty clear that the Deshen was Michutz LaMachana. So why did they have to tell me that the Deshen was Michutz LaMachana? Oh, must be. It's another pasuk that's extra, Tein Lo Machna Shlishis, to tell me there's a third machs again. A lot of things in today's daf are not mefurish from sukkim. It's a lot of drushes, a lot of Torah Shabbat Peh. It's not mefurish anywhere in the Torah that the par koyim Mashiach and the par halam davish chol tzibur and the par in the Sarim Yom Kippur had to be burnt al michutz l'sholich machanas. Every time the Torah says that these parim had to be burnt, it says al michutz l'machana. Chutz l'machana sounds like one machana. You take it outside of the Makom HaMikdosh, which is machna shechina, and you could do it a machna leviyah, or maybe outside a machna leviyah. Do it anywhere in Yerushalayim. Chutz l'machana means chutz l'gimel machnas. How do you know that? It's based on a bunch of extra psukim. Regardless, what does that have to do with our Mishnah? I mean, it has a lot to do with our Mishnah, but the Gemara brought it for a parenthetical point. The point was that the Tanakh in the Mishnah says, "Mei matzai mitamim begadim." When did the koyan asayir fesapara? When did his begadim become tamei? So the Mishnah said, as soon as he left Azara. The Gemara's question was, "Minani mili?" How do you know that? That the Gemara's answer is, it says regarding this par that you should burn it el michutz l'machana, which sounds like outside of one machana, and that's posh, it says the Gemara, that's not where it was burned. Because where it was burnt was outside of the three machanas, like all the parim and esrafim. What does michutz l'machana mean? Once he goes chutz l'machana, he leaves the azara. That's the one machana. At that point, his begadim become tami. Now, Reb Shimon argued in the Mishnah. Reb Shimon said his begadim don't become tami until he actually burns it. Actually, yotzis ha'or berubai. Until the fire takes hold. It takes grasp of the majority of the par and the sar. So, afraid the Gemara of Rab Shimon, hay michutz l'machana my offer. So, what does he do with michutz l'machana? He doesn't use it to tell me that the koyin asarif asapar became tummy as soon as he left the machana, as soon as he left Azar. So, what does he use it for? Me boy, the chedetanya use it for the following price. Blaz, Amir Blaz, it says, Nemar Khan. It says again regarding the par and the sar, and Yom Kippur michutz l'machana. Venema lahalon, and all these prices, lahalon means something else. Over here, lahalon means regarding the paraduma. Michutz l'machana, makan. Just like regarding the par in the Sar and Yom Kippur, chutz l'sholish machana is af lahalon. So too over there, it means chutz l'sholish machana. Meaning, just like the par in the Sar is chutz l'sholish machana, because all parim and esrafim are chutz l'sholish machana, like we said. So too the par aduma, which also was brought michutz l'machana, it had to be outside of the three machanas. Additionally, ma lahalon b'mizrach shel Yerushalayim, just like the par aduma was brought to the east of Yerushalayim, it was brought on Haram Mishcha, so too, Avkan, b'mizrocha shal Yerushalayim, so too, the Par and the Sar and Yom Kippur were brought b'mizrocha shal Yerushalayim. So according to Reb Shimon, the reason the Torah said, michutz l'machana, even though it's really three machanas, to teach me a gzeira shava between the Par and the Sar and Yom Kippur, and the Parah Aduma, Zoyz Chukas HaTorah. It teaches me Halacha in Hilchas Parah Aduma, and it teaches me Halacha in Hilchas Par V'Sar and Yom Kippur. Parah Aduma, I learn Chutz L'Sholosh Machanas, and as it relates to Yom Kippur, I learn that the place of Chutz can't just be anywhere outside of Yerushalayim. It has to be to the east. It has to be L'Mizrach HaShe Yerushalayim. V'Rabbanon Hechi Sarafdu. Now, the Rabbanon don't have this, Joshua. Chutz L'Machanas is not extra. So you can't use it to teach me Gzeira Shava between the Par and the Sar and Yom Kippur, and between the Parah Aduma. So if that's the case, we can't necessarily learn from the Par from the par adumo, where the sreifa of the par in the sar in Yom Kippur was. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbanu, where was it? So the Gemara says, Kedetanya, this is another brayse, Hechen es Rafin, where were they burned? The tzvoina shel Yerushalayim. It was to the northern part of Yerushalayim, the chutz l'shalish machanes, it had to be outside of the three machanes, meaning by default, if you don't have a drasha anywhere telling me where it's supposed to be burnt, it's going to be burnt to the northern part of Yerushalayim. And Rashi says the reason is, top line, Shekol Maisei Chatas B'Tzofen. Tzvoin Yerushalayim because it's a chatas. And there's a din tzofen. Every single aspect of a chatas is supposed to be in a B'Tzofen. I mean that it's a chatas, and therefore it was done B'Tzofen. So if you have a drasha, because there is Shavu to learn out from the Paradum, it's going to be the Mizrach. But being that we don't have a drasha, by default, it can end up being B'Tzofen. Rabbi Yossi continues in the Braisa, and he says, Abes Hadeshen is Shrafen. So Rashi says, what does it mean, Abes Hadeshen? Tzorich sheyaktim l'shom deshen ha-mizbeach. Sheyehe nikra koidim l'chein mokim shefach Hadeshen. Rabbi Yossi said that when the Pasuk described the Parim HaNisrafim, that's talking specifically about the Par Koyim HaShiach, it says it was taken on Michutz LaMachana, and it had to be burnt al Shefech HaDeshen. So we said Shefech HaDeshen means the place where the Deshen was sent. But Rabbi Yossi said it means more than that. It means it had to be on top of Deshen. Ke'ilu, if there was no Deshen, first you have to bring Deshen, and only afterwards can you burn it. It literally had to be al Shefech HaDeshen. Amar Rava said, Man Tana the Polygol Adi Rabbi Yossi. Who's a Tana that argues Rabbi Yossi? Now, it's not clear that anyone argues with Rabbi Yossi. But Rashi explains that from the fact that Rabbi Yossi said this, he must have been talking to somebody, right? We're discussing the halachos of the Parim HaNisrafim. And Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Abes HaDeshen Nisrafim. It sounds like Rabbi Yossi knew someone didn't hold that way. That it doesn't have to be literally on Deshen, it just has to be in the place where they used to bring the Deshen. So the Gemara wants to know who's the Tana that argues with Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara knows who it is. It's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. The Tanya went to the Braisa, El Shefech HaDeshen Yisorit. Sheyehe L'Sham Deshen. There had to be Deshen there. That's Rabbi Yossi Shita. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, says we learn out something else from this. Sheyehe Mekoyme Meshupach. Shefech HaDeshen means it should be a place that if you put Deshen, if you put something there, it would roll down because the area is slanty. But it physically doesn't have to be Deshen over there. So the Gemara says, you want to know who holds that Shefech HaDeshen doesn't mean literally there has to be Deshen, must be Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, because he has a different drasha. He darshan sheyehe mekoyme meshufach. Amalei Abaya, Sabaya told Rabbi, v'dilba mekoyme meshufach v'dipligi. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. How do you know Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is arguing with the Tana Kama? Maybe he's adding to the Tana Kama. Tana Kama said Shefech HaDeshen means there physically has to be Deshen. So maybe Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is just adding on the Tana Kama. He's not arguing, he's adding. He's saying, I hear what you're saying. That has to be Deshen. In addition to that, also has to be Mekoyim and Meshubach. But the point is, you want to tell me, Rabbi Eliezer Yaakov is the Tana that Rabbi Yossi was arguing with. It's not Muchach, said Abaye, Mechatesi. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer Yaakov agrees with Rabbi Yossi that there has to be Deshen. He was just coming to add another Josh, Tana Rabbana. Another braisa that discusses these halachas. Again, so we're talking about the sreifa of the par and the sar in Yom Kippur. And the pasuk says that whoever burnt it became tamei. Vasoyreif oisam yechabes begodav v'rochatz p'sari b'mayim and only v'achre ken yetzem mechutz l'mach. Zok the braisa hasoyre b'tamei begodim v'loi hamatzis esor. The person that actually burnt the par and the sar, he became tamei, but the person that just lit the fire didn't. V'loi hamasadeh samarocha. Additionally, the person that was masadeh the marocha for burning it, he didn't become tamei. What's the definition of the soyrif? Anyone that helped out during the sreifa, he's considered a soyrif. You would think that if somebody was involved in the sreifa after the par and the sar turned into ashes, he's considered a misayeya. Once it's efer already, if you get involved, at that point you're not going to be tamer. The par is metamo, but nitach habasar. If the basar started decomposing, it started spoiling already, it's not metame begadim. So it sounds like there's a machloikis between the Tana Kama and Rabbi Eliezer ben Shimon. According to the Tana Kama, the Mesayeya b'shas sreifa is tameh, but once it's ashes, not. Rabbi Eliezer ben Shimon said, if someone is involved in the sreifa of the pari is tameh, but once it's nitach habasa, once the basa goes bad already, it's not. So there's a machloikis. But it's not 100% clear what the machloikis is. So the Gemara says, my day nayu? No, iki be nayu, the shavi charaycha. It is a shtickle clear. The Tana Kama said, once it's ashes, if you're involved, you don't become Tameh. Blaz Reb Shimon said, Nitach HaBasar. So the Nafkamina is, what if the Basar was Nitach, but it's not ashes? There is an in-between stage. So in that stage, according to Blaz Reb Shimon, if somebody was Misayeya, you wouldn't become Tameh. Whereas according to the Tana Kama, if somebody was Misayeya at that point, the person would become Tameh. So just to exhale and come up for breath for 1 second. So we had a whole bunch of different drushes that deal with an obscure area of Kachim, and that is the halachas of Parim HaNisrafim. So we see there was certain karbonos
where there was a mitzvah after the shchita and the kabbalah and the halacha and the zrika and the shvicha shirayim and the haktara, there was a mitzvah to take the basar outside of the machane and to burn. Now, this was true for the par koyim mashiach, the par helam davish al tzibur, and the par and the sar of Yom Kippur. What we saw in today's daf is that even though every single time the Torah says you should take it on michutz la-machana, and machana is in the singular lashon, so it sounds like just take it out of the machana, the Beis HaMikdash, which is machna shchina, take it outside of machna shchina. Really, it had to be taken out of the three machnas. So it wasn't enough to take it out of the machna, but you had to take it out of machna shchina, you had to take it out of machna levia, and you had to take it out of machna yisrael. Additionally, what we saw in today's daf is that there was a mitzvah of nituach. There was a mitzvah to chop up the basar before it was put into the mizbech. Similar to the mitzvah of nituach that you had with every single carbon oilo, there was a mitzvah of nituach. However, dissimilar to an oilo which had a mitzvah of hefshet, over here there was no mitzvah of hefshet. Again, all based on drashas and based on gzeirah shavos. In terms of where exactly outside of Yerushalayim it had to be, so we saw machlokes. Rabbi Eliezer said, "Gzeirah shava from Parah Aduma had to be the mizracha shal Yerushalayim. So too, the vahitzel michutz la machanois had to be the mizracha shal Yerushalayim. The Chachamim didn't have Rabbi Eliezer's rasha, and as a result, by default, they said it has to be the tzvoina shal Yerushalayim. It had to be to the northern part of Yerushalayim. And another thing that's clear in the Pesukim is that v'hasoyrei faisam, the person that burnt it, he became tameh, and his begotten became tameh as well. So returning now to our regular program, which is the Halag Avodah on Yom Kippur. Zok the Mishnah, Amr Lo the Kohen Gadol. They told the Kohen Gadol, he gias sar le midbar. The sar arrived to the midbar. And when they told the Kohen Gadol that the Tzar arrived at the Midbar, so now the Kohen Gadol could resume doing his Avodah. Says the Gemara, I mean, I know you heard them, how did they know? I mean, like, it sounds like they knew somehow. How did they know? So the Mishnah is going to offer a few possibilities. Number one, their Koyes Hayu Oysen. They had Shluchim, there were people that were stationed at different posts. Umenichtim besudarim, they had an old-fashioned way of communicating. And through these Sudarim, they were able to tell one person who told the other. There was an assembly line. And like this, the word came back to the Azara, that the Ish Iti arrived at the Midbar, or Higia Sayer. The Sayer has landed in the Midbar. And they knew Higia Sayer. No, they didn't have to go through Shluchim. There were other ways to know, because Mishlaim had basically do the from Mishlaim until the beginning of the Midbar. Now, this shouldn't be confused with some of the things we saw in the previous Dafin. This is not Yerushalayim until Tzuk. This is Yerushalayim until the entrance way to the Midbar was Shloisha Milan. It was 3 Milan, right? We saw earlier 12 Milan, 10 Milan. This is something else. This is from Yerushalayim, not to the Tzuk, to the beginning of the Midbar. It was 3 Milan. Therefore, Hochin Mil, the Yakiri Yerushalayim, they were Malava, the person, the Ishniti, 1 Mil, the Chayzrin Mil, then they would go back to the Beis HaMikdash, wait a Mil, the Shoyin Mil, and then they would wait a Mil. It's like this, they knew it was 3 Mil, and by the time 3 Mil passed, they knew it already arrived in the Mil. I mean, the first group of people that were Malava, the Ishniti, they walked them a Mil, they came back, that's another Mil, so we know already 2/3 of the way was done. So all they had to do was wait a 3rd Mil, like this, they knew everything was taken care of. Yoidin Shigir, Salam Yud, like this, they knew there was over. Shmuel, and Shmuel said, Simon Achai, they had a different Simon. There was a red thread that was tied to the entranceway of the Heichel. Shigir, Salam Yud, when the Tzar arrived in the Midbar, Loshim Alban, the red string would turn white. Shenema Yuchat Echen Kashonim, Kashel Galbinu, and that's the way they knew. Why did the other Tanam not learn this way? Because we saw in the previous Gemaras that everybody holds it was on the Pesach of the Heichel. Could be it was in the Ulam, and then there were times that they ended up tying it in the Midbar. So that's definitely not something that was always worked. But regardless, three different suggestions in the Mishnah as to how the Kohen Gadol would have known that everything happened. Amar Abaya, Abaya said, Shmamino, you see from here, Beis Chidudai by Midbar Kaima, that the Beis Chidudai of the Mishnah must have been the beginning of the Midbar. Meaning, that it's you don't need that the Tzar should have arrived at Tzuk in order for the Kohen Gadol to be able to resume his Avodah, but as long as he came to the beginning of the Midbar, that in and of itself would be enough. What was he trying to say? Like we just said, that as soon as the Tzar arrives in the Midbar, that's already Nasis Mitzvah. Meaning, Abai was making a cheshbon that if it took 3 Milan to get to Beis Chidudai, it must be that's the beginning of the Midbar. I mean, Amiram was just trying to figure out what this Beis Chidudai was. So they worked backwards. They did a little math. They said, if it's 3 million, it must be it's the beginning of the Midbar. And obviously what the Mishnah is saying is that the Kohen Gadol has to wait a little bit, but he doesn't have to wait until the whole Avodah actually took place. It doesn't have to wait until the Sar is thrown down the mountain. As soon as it went to the beginning of the Midbar, that in and of itself would be enough. Hadran Aloch Shneisir. We'll just start the Mishnah, and then Yetzir Hashem tomorrow we'll pick up with some more geshmak arrayed regarding a whole new topic. So we're going to introduce a whole new topic, just learn the Mishnah, Machsech Nish Vissendik, and then tomorrow we'll get into it. Zok the Mishnah, Bali Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol now went back to the Azara Likros. And what he's going to do is now he's going to read from the Sefer Torah, lots of Likros, big day buts. If you wanted to read with the big day buts, meaning with his big day love and the special begotten that he wore in Yom Kippur, he could. V'im lav if not. Kerb itzlis love and mishalot. He could put on his regular clothing, and that's okay as well. Chazan HaKnesses, Neitel Sefer Torah. The Chazan HaKnesses, he's the Shamish. He would take the Sefer Torah, of a Noisle, the Rosh HaKnesses, and he would take, give it to the Rosh HaKol. For Rosh HaKnesses, Noisle, the Skan, he would give it to the Skan Kohen Gadol, Vaskan, Noisle, Kohen Gadol, and the Skan Kohen Gadol, give it to the Kohen Gadol himself. Kohen Gadol, Eimir, Makabel, the Kohen Gadol would stand up, and he would receive the Sefer Torah, and he would start reading from the Sefer Torah. So what did he read? Achrei Mois, he would read Parshas Achrei Mois, all the psukim that we've been darshening for the last several weeks. Then he would read psukim and Parshas Emor that talk about Yom Kippur. Then he would do Hagba Glilo, Umanicha Bechekka, and he would hold it. For Omer, he would say, don't think that just because this is all I read, that's all that's in the Sefer Torah. There's a lot more in the Sefer Torah. Then he would continue reading. He would read from the psukim in Parshas Pinchas that talk about the carbon musaf that was brought on Yom Kippur, but that koyr al peh, he would read it by peh. He would read it by heart. He wouldn't read it from a sefer Torah. Umevarich aleh shmoyne brachas, and then he would make eight brachas. What are the eight brachas? Zok the Mishnah. Ala Torah, one. Vala avoida, two. Vala hoida, three. Vala mechilas ha'avoin, four. Vala miknosh bifnei atzmoy, five. Vala yisro bifnei atzmoy, six. Rashi says, take out the words Val Yerushalayim b'fnei atzma. So Val Kehana b'fnei atzma, the seven. Val Sharat Fila, that's number eight. Ayin Rashi, who explains the more precise nusach of the brach. Someone that saw the Kohen Gadol reading from the Sefer Torah, any Roy Parvasar and the Sarav. He couldn't see the Par and the Sar being burnt. For Roy Parvasar and the Sarav, and someone that saw the Par and the Sar being burnt, any Roy Kohen Gadol Kshu Kaira. He couldn't see the Kohen Gadol while he was reading from the Sefer Torah. It's the Mishnah of the Nation, in Rashi. It's not like some Isser, some mystical reason. If you saw the Kohen Gadol reading from the Sefer Torah, you have no right to watch the Kayan burning. No, that's not what it means. It was a long distance. One is in the Beis HaMikdash. The other one is outside of the three Machanos. And both things were done at the same time. So physically, practically, it was impossible to be in two places at once. Says Akta Mishnah, someone who saw this couldn't see that, and someone who saw that couldn't see this. Is a very loaded Mishnah with a lot of light, very geshmaki gemaras that we're going to get to in the next couple of days. But for now, just to make a little bit of a recap of some of the gemaras that we've learned as it relates to this par, the Sar Lashem and the Sar Lazaza. But this is not a recap in, as far as Chazara goes, as far as Lamdis goes. More in the world of Machshava. So we've learned the overwhelming majority of the Gemaras that deal with the Avoida on Yom Kippur. And I think it's a little bit surprising. So the Ikar Avoidas that the Kohen Gadol did, up until this point, we're not finished, but up until this point is, number one, the Kohen Gadol brought a special Ketoris that was brought in the Kodesh HaKadoshim Lefnai V'Lefin. Then the Kohen Gadol brought a Par that was Mechapa for the Kohanim. He brought a Sa'ir Lashem. And then there was a Sa'ir that was brought La'azazel. Now, the Ketoris that was brought Lefnai V'Lefnim, that involved a Kaf, and a Machta, and a Chafina, and then a second Chafina, that was a very, very big deal. It was brought in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Bein Abadim, Bayesheni, on the Evan HaShasiyah. That was Mechaper for the Chet of Lashon Har. Yavoi Dover Shebechashoy, V'yichaper Amayse Chashoy. That's a Gemara, Yuma Daf Mem Dal Ramad Aleph. The par that the Kohen Gadol brought and the Sar Lashem was mechaper for Tumas Mikdash v'Kadosha. Tumas Mikdash means if somebody was Tomei and he entered the Beis HaMikdash, whether it was B'mezid, it was B'shoigig, or if somebody became Tomei while he was in the Beis HaMikdash and he didn't leave fast enough. That's Tumas Mikdash. Tumas Kadosha is if someone's Tomei and he eats Kachim, or if someone's Tahar but he eats Kachim, that's Tomei. And again, it doesn't matter if it happens B'mezid or B'shoigig, that's what Tumas Kadosha is. So the par and the soil were mechaper for Tumas Mikdash v'Kadoshav. The par was mechaper for Tumas Mikdash v'Kadoshav when the Kohanim were the ones that were guilty of Tumas Mikdash v'Kadoshav, and the soil was mechaper for Tumas Mikdash v'Kadoshav for the rest of Klai Yisrael. So we got Kapara for Lashon Hara, we got Kapara for Tumas Mikdash v'Kadoshav, and we actually bifurcated the derech
of the kapara of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadosha between the Kohanim and the rest of Klai Yisrael. The Kohanim got it through the par, and Klai Yisrael got it through the sar. What about all the other averes? What about the overwhelming majority of averes that happened through the sar hamishtaleh? Which means then, again, no chedushin, that the whole par and the whole sar, with all the hazois and all the complicated sugyas, what were they about? Tumas Mikdash V'Kadosha. And I think the obvious question is, why are we making such a dogush? Why are we making such an emphasis on Yom Kippur that the majority of the Avodah, when we're going to read the Avodah on Yom Kippur next year, Mashiach should come. But if we're reading the Avodah, we're going to be saying, Achas l'mala v'sheva v'kacha yomayim. This is all Tumas Mikdash V'Kadosh. You want to know what's going on? We're getting kapara now for Tumas Mikdash V'Kadosh. And it's a t'mir gedoyl in the world of machshava. It's something that requires havana. All the sugis, for sure, all the hard sugis and Masechtas Yuma deal with what? With Tumas Mikdash V'Kadosha. Now, the fact that we needed Keteiros to be Mechaper on Lashon Hara, so that opened up the Sefer Chafetz Chaim and Shmiras HaLashon, you'll have the answer. That's not such a chiddush. But Tumas Mikdash V'Kadosha, what does it even mean? These are some of the most obscure sugis in Shas. And on Yom Kippur, on the Yom HaKadosh, there's such a dogush, there's such an emphasis on Tumas Mikdash V'Kadosha. So maybe you could say a little bit of a machshava, but that requires a little bit of an introduction. So today is Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Chukas. It's Yodua, the Magen Avraham, and the end of Hilchos Tainis, and Simin Tov Kuf Pei brings Peshem Vetanya. Kosev Atanya, B'yoy Mashishi Parshas Chukas, Nagu Yechidim Lesanis. There were Yechidim that fasted on that day. And the reason they fasted on that day, says the Tanya, is because on that day in the 14th century, there were 20 wagon loads of Shas that were burnt in the public square in France. And because of that, the Chachamim at that time got together. They were the Bali Toisvis, the French Bali Toisvis, and they said that there should be a Tainis. Now, not every Yid in Klai Yisrael was Makabal that Tainis, but there were Yechidim. There were individuals that did. But says the Magen Avraham, quoting the Tanya, that why did they associate this Tainis with Yom Shishi, Erev Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Chukas? Meaning, it happened on Erev Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Chukas. But is that a reason to make the Tainis on Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas? Anytime we as Jews commemorate things, so we look at the calendar, what's the Hebrew date? And that becomes the day. So, Churban Beis HaMikdash, we commemorate, we remember on Tisha B'Av. Why? Because on Tes Av is the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. We don't say that the Churban happened on Matzoy Shabbos or on a Sunday, it's a Yerushalmi, but, and therefore the Sunday of Av, no, that's not what we say. What we say is we look at that calendar. Yud Zayin Tammuz, that's the day of, so it's always based on the day. So said the Magen Avraham, again quoting the Tanya, so why was it that the Gezerah, why was it that the Tainus was instituted on Erev Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Chukas? So he says the reason is because the Gedolim of that generation, they made a Shelos Chaloy. They asked in a dream, and they asked to try to get a little bit of insight, a little Torah B'Shamayim, to try to figure out why such a terrible Gezerah happened. And it was Noida Lehem, it was revealed to them, Sheyoy Ma'Parsha Goram Gezerah Satorah. It was the Yoy Ma'Parsha that caused this to happen. And the reason is because Parshas Chukas begins with the word Zois Chukas Satorah. And the Targum on Zois Chukas Satorah is Do Gezerah Soiraiso. Chayk Miloshin Gzeira. And it was Neskala to them that because Parashas Chukas is a Parashah of Gzeira, that's why such a terrible Gzeira happened on this day. So the reason it happened was very much because it was Parashas Chukas. So Erev Shabbos Kodesh Parashas Chukas wasn't incidental, but it was actually causative in terms of why the Gzeira took place. And therefore, when these Yechidim decided to be Goyz HaTainis, they didn't make the Tainis based on the day on the Hebrew calendar, but rather they decided to make the Tainis based on Erev Shabbos Parashas Chukas, because it was Nizgala to them that it was Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas that caused this to happen. This is a well-known Magen Avraham. It's the last Magen Avraham in Hilchos Tainis and Simin Tov Kuf Pei. But the Magen Avraham continues. The Magen Avraham says, V'gam, there's another reason why the Yechidim that fasted on Erev Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Chukas. And that is because B'Shnas Tach, in the year Tovches, in the year 1648, Nechrevu Shnei Kehilois Gedoilois Ba'Oisei Ayom. On that day, Erev Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Chukas, there were two Kehilois Gedoilois that were destroyed. K'moy She'omim B'Slichas, like we say in the Slichas, Shechiber Ba'al Asif Seikoyen, that the Shach composed. And of course, the Shnas Tach and the two Kehilois that the Magen Avraham is referring to are the Gzeris of Tach V'Tat.
Tach 1648, Tach 1649, and this took place in Ukraine, Russia, Lithuania. There was a revolution where the Cossacks were causing a lot of tsaras, and like every time with this tsaras, the Jews were always targeted, and they went after the Yiddish Kehillas. And that was a dar daya in Europe at that time, and there were Kedoshei Elyon that were killed, Hashem Yimkom Damam. Just to mention one, Rav Shamsham Yastropoli was one of the people that were killed by the Cossacks in the year Shnas Tach, in the year 1648. And they went after a lot of Kedoshim and a lot of Tzaddikim. So says the Magen Avraham, that whole revolution took place over an extended period of time. But in Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas, there were two Kehilos Kedoylos that were killed. And because that happened, Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas, and again with the understanding of Zoyz Chukas HaTorah Dog Zera Soiraisa, they decided that we're going to be guys at Tainis, and for that reason, the Yechidim, going back to the times of the Rishonim, and then into the times of the Achronim, that went ahead and fasted. It's Yodua that just like the Tzaddikim made a Shelos Chaloyim after the burning of the Shas, in the times of the Bali Toysmas, there was a Shelos Chaloyim that was made in the times of the Gzeres Tach V'Tat. And the Shelos Chaloyim was made by the Tosfos Yontif. Tosfos Yontif was one of the Gedolim at that time. He lived in Krakow. And the Tosfos Yontif made a Shelos Chaloyim. And it was Niskala to the Tosfos Yontif that the reason Gzeres Tach V'Tat happened was because Yidden weren't careful not to talk during davening. And he said, because there were Yidden that were talking during davening, so it's for that reason this happened. And the Tosfos Yontif went and he told the Yidden, we have to be mechazik and not talking during davening. So much so, he composed the famous Misha Berach that's in every Siddur. Misha Berach Aviseinu Avram Yitzchak V'Yakim Moshe V'Aaron David U'Shloimo Hu Yuvarech Es Kol Misha Shoim R'Pivu L'Shoinoi Shaloi L'Daber Be'Eis HaTfila HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yishmireyu Mikol Tzor V'Tzuko Mikol Nego Machlov Yachul Olav Kol Abroch Zaksuv Zabseres Tovis Moshe V'Chulu V'Chulu Who composed that Misha Berach? It was composed by the Tosfos Yontif. He's the one that wrote this Misha Berach. And he wrote it because it was niskala to him in a dream. It was niskala to him in a dream that the tsaras that the Yidden went through in 1648, 1649 came because they were talking during davening. And it was niskala to him that if the Yidden would be mesaken this one issue, this would somehow solve a lot of their problems. I just want to stop for a second and give a shout out to Yedidi Yitzchok Perlstein, who has a shul, Kahal Shar Tosfos Yontif, and he started a movement called Stop the Talking in Shul. And I was talking to him about it recently. He told me that there's literally, kamat, not a day that goes by that he doesn't get an email or a text message or somebody stops him in the street and tells him of personal stories and yeshuas that they've had, sometimes shaloi kederech hateva, because they took upon the Misha Berach of the Tosfos Yontif, and they've mamish seen unbelievable yeshuas. So from their quote-unquote stopping the talk, they've had tremendous yeshuas. But it all came because of a Shelos Chaloyim that the Tosfos Yontif did, and it was niskala to him, b'Shelos Chaloyim, that the Tach V'Tat happened because people were talking during davening. So years ago, I heard a shmuz from the Mashkiach, from Matasiyahu Salomon Shlita, Zolzayin Gezunt, and he said that we understand talking during davening is a very big deal. But what was pshat? Such terrible gzeres. I mean, you read what went on, gzeres tach v'tad. I mean, there's a chapter right out of the Holocaust. But like, how do you understand that? Tzadike Elyon, they died because they were talking during davening. It's not even something that you find so much as being a problem. I mean, intuitively you understand it's not a good thing. But the gzeres tach v'tad came from talking during davening. He said, what's the pshat? And the truth is, Shulchan Aruch says, the Mechaber says, if somebody speaks during chazaras hashatz, gadol avoynoi minasot. His aver is so heavy, he can't even carry it. So he said, what's the pshat? Gadol avoynoi minasot? What's the hesber? So he said a dover nifla. So Matzioh said it's pasha to him. That the reason gzeres tach v'tad happened wasn't because people were talking during davening. That's not what the Tosfos Yontif meant. The gzeres tach v'tad happened because of, for whatever reason they happened. But what happened, as soon as the gzeres started taking root, is the Yidden got together and they started davening. Because that's what a Yid does when he's an Eis Sarah. He said the problem was, the Yidden did not have a koyach hatfila in that door. And the reason is because they were mezalzel in their koyach hatfila. And because they were mezalzel in the koyach hatfila, when they got together and they started davening and screaming and fasting and pleading with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they had no koyach anymore. If they wouldn't have been mezalzel in their koyach hatfila, had they not talked during davening, the Eibishter would have answered their tefillas. Because Karev Hashem l'chol Karev l'chol Hashem yikra'u v'emes. And there was a lot of tefillas, and people were davening be'emes. The problem is they had no koyach hatfila.
And the reason they had no koyach tefillah is because they were mezalzel in their tefillah. And being that they were mezalzel in their tefillah in the good times, they didn't have a koyach tefillah in the bad times. And said Ramatisio, that's what the Tosfos Yontif was being megala. That because people weren't nizer, they weren't being careful in tefillah, so when they needed the tefillah, they didn't have the tefillah. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch means when he says, Gadol Avoinim in Esai. What do you mean, Gadol Avoinim in Esai? It's such an interesting lashon. It's a haflaga. He said, because nobody can go through life without tefillah. Everybody needs tefillah. It's just the way it is. Everyone needs tefillah. Mark it this way. The problem is if a person opens up a siddur and he davens and he has no koyach tefillah because he messed up his koyach tefillah, so nobody can go through life that way. And that's Gadol Avoinim in Esai. It's too heavy. You can't carry it. No one has the places to go through life without tefillah. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch means. But Sedra Matzil, that was the oimik over here. The oimik of Tach Betah, what was Neskalar to the Tosis Yon, to B'Sheilas Chalim, wasn't that the Siba was talking during the davening. It's that they didn't have a koyach tefillah. And had they stopped to talk, they would have had a koyach tefillah, and then the Gzera would have gone away. So I was thinking, ulai, maybe that's what's going on in Yom Kippur. The Kapara on Yom Kippur is coming from what? From the Avoida. The Kohen Gadol is going to go into the Beis HaMikdash and he's going to do Avodah, and that's the central part of the Yom Kippur. The majority of Masechtas Yuma is about the Avodah on Yom Kippur. It's because that was the Kapara. It all came this side, that side, but the Iker came through the Avodah on Yom Kippur. But what would happen if the Kohen Gadol walks into the Beis HaMikdash? He's going to go Lefnai V'Lefnin. He's going to do the Avodah that he has to do. And he needs that the Avodah should be Mechaber for Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael were Mezalzel in the Avodah. They were Mezalzel in Mikdash. They were Mezalzel in Kaddishon. How are they going to get Kapara? If a person's Mezalzel in Tefillah, he doesn't have a Koyach HaTefillah. The Kohen Gadol, who's the Shliach Tzibur, who says, Hineni Yo'ani Mi'emas, who's now going as the Shliach of us, into the Beis HaMikdash, if we have a Reisah in Mikdash V'Kadashav, we can't get Kapara from Mikdash V'Kadashav. So the first thing the Kohen Gadol had to do was, he had to cleanse Klal Yisrael from Mikdash V'Kadashav. He had to give us back our Koyach HaTfilah. So he brought a pan and a sar, and he went Lefnai V'Lefnim, and then he went on the Pereiches, and another 11 Azois, and he was Sos V'Ir, and all that voidness and everything, and what happens if it spilled Nachagayo, Metana, and all the lums, all the Geshmaki Gemaras, one after another that we've learned about Yom Kippur, it was all about to rinse and to cleanse, Libur Nachal Libur, to make sure the Yidden are perfect, that there's no problem of Mikdash V'Kadashav, that the relationship between Mikdash V'Kadashav and Klal Yisrael is perfect. Once it's perfect, it's easy. All you have to do is take one sar, throw it down a cliff. Karav Hashem l'chol karav l'chayil Hashem yikru'u be'emes. And that's the way the Yidden were able to get kapara. But could be the side of emphasizing and making such a dogush on Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav on Yom Kippur prior to the Avodah, was in line with what the Mashkiach said that Tosfos Yontif was trying to say. That tefillah works. It's very powerful. What's not easy is to have a koyach tefillah. And that's something that requires work. And that was the Misha Berach of the Tosfos Yontif. That a Yid that takes that upon himself, he gets back his koyach tefillah. And that's where all the brachas come. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yishmerei, Umikol Tzara V'Tzuka, Umikol Nego Machlov, Yochulu Olav, Kol HaBrachas HaKsuvas, V'Yizkeler Eiz Banim Chayim V'Kayom, V'Yigadam L'Toyra L'Chupa L'Masim Toivim, V'Yavres Hashem L'Keinu Tomim V'Emes V'Tom. This is literally the Nusach of the Tosfos Yontif. He said, because once you have a koyach tefillah, then it goes geschmiert. And that's maybe what's going on in Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol went, he gave the Yidden back Mikdash V'Kadashav. But that's the erste Zach. V'daf habim Mikdash V'Kadashav. Now that we have a Koyach HaMikdash V'Kadashav, now we can bring the Sar Mishtaleach. Now we can get Kapara for all the Averis.